Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. Today I'm here to do another film review. This is going to be for Companion. I'm your host Matthew, and let's jump to our rating system. We've got strong must see, don't skip, possible skip, skip, and hard skip as well. I'm going with a strong must see and a 10 out of 10. I think this film is pretty excellent. It does do something slightly different to what I thought it was going to do, but I think that's fine because, yeah, there were certain, expectations that were slightly subverted and things like that. Film kind of keeps you on your toes in that way, which I think is very good. Yeah, lots to think about with this one. Lots to think about with this one. But I enjoyed doing the thinking as I was watching this film and, I'm going to tell you how the film made me feel in terms of not how I felt about the film, but the events. And I think you're supposed to feel the way that I'm about to describe. So, yeah, thought the film was excellent. I really, really did enjoy it a lot. And it did tackle on a lot of the beats that I wanted it to, and it also did its own thing that I didn't expect at the same time. So I think it was a very good mix of those two things of like what I was wanting and kind of expecting from this film, and also what it did of like its own accord that I didn't expect. The film made me feel quite, I don't know if angry is the word to use, but certainly pissed off at certain points. It made me feel very intense in certain moments. There's some really, really intense moments, and not intense in terms of not the usual intensity of like an intense drama, but sort of as certain controlling behaviors were happening, it was quite uncomfortable to watch. But I like that those things made me feel uncomfortable because they were supposed to, and I think the film is asking me to feel that way. So in terms of what I think the film wanted me to feel, it did that incredibly well. Because if you wanted me to feel pissed off and uncomfortable, but in a good way, not pissed off and uncomfortable in terms of, oh, I don't like the film. I don't like some of the things that are happening in this film, but I'm definitely not supposed to. Because, yeah, going to be in the spoiler-free section here, obviously. But needless to say, from obviously the title and what the film's about, Companion, yeah, it's essentially, so I can tell you what the story is about. It's essentially you've got the guy called Josh, played by Jack Quaid. Of course, you would know him from, probably nowadays most people would know him from The Boys. He was in Scream 6 and he's been in some other stuff, but he's been in The Boys for 4 seasons, obviously the Amazon Prime show. He gets a girlfriend at some point, and she's called Iris, played by the wonderful, brilliant Sophie Thatcher, who I know, from Yellow Jackets at the moment. She plays the young Natalie, which is currently ongoing. She's still playing that character, and I'm gonna see her on Friday, assuming she's in the episode. I'll see her on Friday. But yeah, I knew her from that. I know she's been in some other stuff as well, but yeah, to me, Yellow Jackets and The Boys is what I know these two sort of most from. I'll talk about their acting and stuff in a minute because that was really, really good as well. But yeah, essentially, she is a companion and he has got this. And you'll know this if you've seen the trailer, and I don't consider this part to be a spoiler. There's many other things that happen in this film that are definitely spoilery, but I'm just explaining to you what the film is. And she's basically his robot kind of girlfriend, and he's got this like phone where he can make her to his liking, make her the perfect girlfriend and all that kind of stuff. So again, a lot of coercive control and control and abuse and things like that come into play, and he can literally tinker sort of like her memories, or outlines of memories and stuff, and like her intelligence, her aggression, her eye color. She's basically a completely customizable robot, essentially. I won't tell you where that goes or whatever, So it does that kind of stuff. And yes, it does have the theme of kind of, okay, a controlling man, an abusive man in a relationship with a woman, and she's being, you know, because this goes even beyond kind of the traditional idea of like the housewife or the handmaid kind of thing. It does definitely delve into those themes a lot. Because essentially he can get her to do whatever he wants. Because obviously that's what the app is doing. And you see how that plays out in this film. I'm not going to tell you how it plays out in the film. Excuse me. But yeah, it does lead to some very uncomfortable scenes. But it does do it very, very, very well. And again, if the idea is that you wanted me to be very uncomfortable and very pissed off due to mainly Josh's actions in the film, he definitely did that. But I went in kind of not wanting necessarily. I don't want to see those scenes, although they're very well done and very important to the story. But they're very excellently well done. So I thought that was very, very good. So the thing I was kind of going in here wanting was there's two. Let's call them stories, whatever. It's a video game called Lies of P, and obviously the show called Westworld from a few years ago on HBO. And one of the types of stories I've been enjoying in recent years, such as those, is the kind of idea that, okay, if you've got like a robot, or in Lies of P's case, a puppet, or you've got something that has been created by somebody that isn't human, but is given like human tasks and things like that. What is their level of consciousness? What is their level of self-awareness? Are they aware of what's going on with them, but they still have to follow the thing that they're doing? And I was very curious to see how this film would tackle that theme. Now, while it doesn't dig into it as much as Lies of P and Westworld do, however, that's not a criticism because this film has less time than Lies of P and Westworld. Obviously, Westworld, you had 4 seasons, and Lies of P can take you know, 20 to 40 hours or whatever, and there's obviously a lot more. There's a lot more in those two things because there is, well, a lot more of those two things, and this only has like an hour, it's about an hour 40 minutes, this film, to get across those things. And there's like other little stories and other bits and pieces that all add together quite well. But for the time that this film does have and the time that it explores those things, it does do that quite well. I'm trying to think, like, am I satisfied with how deep it went with those themes? I think I'd lean more towards yes, I think I am. It's just you didn't quite get the time for it. I'd be very curious if somebody adapted this into a TV show. And you could just have more time to, like, in this world with what the robot companions do, you could spend more time kind of doing that stuff. But for what you have here in the hour 40 minutes, it does do an excellent job with that, but I almost think it ran out of time to go any deeper. And again, I'm not disappointed by that, and I'm not like annoyed by that or whatever. I just would like more, I think. And naturally, okay, when you've got, because I've just, you know, mentioned an example of a 10 episode season of a TV show, or 40 episodes if you count all 4 seasons, and then a like 40 hour video game, obviously you're not going to get as much time in a under 2 hour film to explore those ideas. But it did it very, very well. So I think that's really, really good. Just to talk about the acting, yes, Jack Quaid does a very, very good job. He's a convincing, controlling man, I suppose. But Sophie Thatcher is kind of dealing with the more emotional brunt of the story, of course, from what her character goes through and everything else. And she does a fantastic job as well. So good to see Sophie Thatcher in this as well. And yeah, a d different kind of taste as to what she does in Yellow Jacket. She plays a character called Natalie, the teenage version. So that was great as well. In terms of pacing and structure, you know, I always like to talk about those things. No real issues. Thought it was very, very good. You are mainly kind of in one location. There's a few glimpses of other locations. But that, so what I mean by that is it's not flicking between like 4 different sets of things. You basically got one main thing going on, and then the camera or the scenes cut away to different parts of those scenes. But yeah, I thought it was, there wasn't really any point where I thought, oh, it's too fast or too slow. Again, I did mention there about I don't know how much it doesn't get a lot of time to do what it's doing. That doesn't mean I want this to convert itself into a 2.5 hour film. But what I mean is kind of, from a film you're going to get less time to explore the things I wanted to explore, but that's not a pacing issue or a time length issue. Like if you do go from 1 hour 40 to 2.5 hours, I think that probably actually would have been too long for this film. Unless of course you had like a 40 minute conversation about, the morals and empathy of the world and, all those kind of humanity based themes. I guess they could have done that. I just don't know if that would have made this film outright better. And given the narrative flow of this film, the idea that you'd then stick in like another 40-minute conversation of Josh and Iris talking to each other, I don't know where you would have put that or where that would have worked. So I'm just giving a kind of example of how that might have worked in a different scenario. So but yeah, pacing, structure, flow is very, very good. It didn't really need to do anything more than what it did with that. So, but yeah, I'd be open to like another go in this world. Again, in terms of in this world, sort of, okay, the companion app and all the lore that's kind of set up here. But yeah, I would. Yeah, I would just like a TV show of this more than I would if we did get any kind of second film, however you would do that, or any kind of like, you could always do a companion too and then do new characters as well, because obviously this world is full of other people as well. So, but no, very, very good. You got some other people in here. You got Rupert Friend, who I haven't seen for a while actually. He played Brody in Homeland. Gosh, when did Homeland finish? Probably like five. It feels like that was about 5 years ago, but he was Brody in Homeland. He's been in a few other things as well. You got Lucas Gage in here. He does a good job. Rupert Friend does a good job as well. Got Harvey Gillian, Megan Shuri, Matt McCarthy, and a few others as well. It's mainly between Sophie Thatcher and Jack Quaid as Iris and Josh. So yeah, but yeah, as I said, I like this film quite a lot. I think it does a very, very, very good job with what it's doing. And again, in terms of my expectations or what it could have done differently, I think it did both those things very well, because there were things in this film that I wasn't quite sure how they were going to do or what to kind of expect. But then the things I did want out of this film, they do get explored in pretty good ways, I suppose. So yeah, very, very good as companion. Do I have anything else I want to say? Because I usually do it sometimes where like we go into the spoiler free section and I start remembering spoiler free stuff. But then there's also the case of you post a podcast and then either 3 hours later or the next day you remember something that you should have talked about. So there you go. But no, don't think so. Don't think there's anything else for me to talk about. I definitely recommend the film. It is on VOD. Something I do want to mention quickly as well. I mentioned this on my We Live in Time review yesterday. And again, not going to get into a big rant thing about it here. I'm just going to mention it in the same way I did yesterday. Again, there's a whole podcast on this subject for me to do. And that is for films that are smaller, quote unquote, that just don't get many screenings or much time at the cinema until you end up with a showing at midnight, finishes at 2 a.m. or something, or starts at 11, finishes at 1. It's like, okay, it's just not realistic, especially during the week, I suppose. That happened with this film again, literally about a week or two after this film came out. Yeah, the same thing happened with both films, We Live in Time and Companion. I wanted to see both of them. Did miss them for the first couple of weeks, but I thought, hey, we should be around for, another 3, 4 weeks or so. And they were, but very sparingly. So I found that to be very annoying. We've had a good amount of films this year, because those are both new films for this year. We haven't been like flooded with films yet. That's going to happen in the summer, so I don't know. I think We Live in Time and Companion both deserved more time at the cinemas. So for either film, which I recommend both of them. Obviously, you can listen to my We Live in Time review from yesterday. But yeah, if you can find good screenings for them both, I'd recommend both watching both of them on the big screen if you can do that. But both of them are on VOD as well, which is obviously how I watch them, both for rental or purchase. So you can find them that way. All right, we do have quite a lot to talk about in the spoiler section, or I feel like we do anyway. So yeah, if you have or haven't seen Companion, what did you think of it? Let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on the film and all that kind of stuff. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalk UK and Entertainment Talk. Sorry, eTalk UK or Entertainment Talk, just search for one of those names. And there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org. TV, games, films, my United podcast. There's no gaming talk this week. There is a United cast tomorrow. Big game. Of course, Yellow Jackets podcasts with Sophie Thatcher in there as Natalie. So we've got that going on. Got some podcast projects I might do today if I've got some time. I should have some time. So look out for those. Big Last of Us podcast, obviously, had a new trailer, some comments about Last of Us 3, some casting news, lots to break down there. And also, yes, my review of Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. Really, really, really enjoyed that a lot. So very, very good. So yeah, if you want to support what we do here at Entertainment Talk, you can either visit the site, entertainmenttalk.org, or visit us on podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, Man United podcast. If you want to support us in different ways, you can either listen to more episodes. There's also the categories list as well from the drop-down menu. Word of mouth, social media, and if someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. Excuse me, TV and film news, geektown.co.uk, and Geektown Radio Tuesdays. There's a new episode from yesterday, so look for Geektown and Geektown Radio. So there's that. We're also on Twitch, but more active on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays. Alright, we're going to go into the spoiler section in a minute. So if you haven't seen Companion, go and watch it. I do recommend it. Excellent film. Yeah, obviously, if you haven't seen it, don't follow me in there. And if you have seen it, you can follow me in there, I suppose. All right, thanks for listening, and I'll see you in a minute for the spoiler section. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talk's podcast and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, time for spoilers. If you've not seen Companion, you're going to want to leave now. Unless you want to be spoiled on a film, I don't know why you would do that, but anyway. Time for spoilers. If you haven't seen it, stop the podcast here, go and watch it and come back. Not quite that simple, but you get what I mean. You get the gist of what I'm doing here. And if you have seen the film, welcome, and let's talk about the spoilers. So I really like the way... Did I mention this? I've done it already. Did I mention this in the spoilers? I liked the structure of how this film... Not in the same way that We Live in Time did it, but at least a start, because you get this happy sort of, hey, we met at the supermarket, he dropped the oranges, it was cute and funny, and we the first time, the classic romantic, the first time we laid eyes on each other, we knew that we, even though we didn't know each other's names or anything about each other, we knew that we wanted to spend the rest of our lives together. So yeah, it was interesting when things do fall apart after, I think his name was Sergey. It says here on Google, it says Rupert Friend, and it's got everybody else's character's name, and then under his, where his character's name's written, it says actor. But I think it was Sergey, wasn't it? Is the Russian guy. I can't remember how many times in Homeland he put on a Russian accent. Obviously, it's like a political, heavy political show. But anyway, never mind. So yeah, that all falls apart. She comes back and he's like, okay, we have to kind of get rid of you. You're not real. And then he explains to her, I'm not going to recap the whole thing, but explains to her how it really is and how it's working. And you kind of wondered, like, okay, this is explaining itself very, very well. And just bit by bit by bit, you went, oh, that's how that works. Right, that's how that works. Right, that's how that works. Kind of the most intriguing part to me there was, so hey, but what about supermarket? Like, because I was kind of thinking at that point, that okay, did you, yeah, it's like, did you, okay, you met her at the supermarket, did you like buy her later, or what was like the, what was the deal there? And I feel like the film gave the most interesting solution slash answer to that, which was like, no, I kind of just, like, I can make you up, sort of thing. Just to talk about the actual concept of, so how this whole thing is done here, which again I really, really like the idea of. And again, this delves into kind of interesting themes in terms of, love and how you love someone and all that sort of stuff. It's like, okay, and you've got kind of the different angle with Eli and with Patrick than you do with Iris and Josh, where Eli's got this kind of, I guess, his dad said he couldn't do it, but he said he could, and then he doesn't think Patrick knows that he's a robot, but he's worked it out over the years. Because I would think that you kind of would maybe piece that together over the years, but then again, digs into interesting themes of like self-awareness and things like that, which again Lies of P and what's called Westworld do really well. This does it differently, I would say, definitely. But yeah, kind of interesting in the way that, like, because okay, if you want, again, you can call it a quote-unquote real relationship. If you want a real relationship with a normal, with a human being, you cannot obviously tune. I mean, yeah, there's manipulation and brainwashing and, coercive control and things like that. Obviously, none of which you should do. But that's not the same thing as just like, hey, I'm going to literally write a script for, we met like this, you're like this. And obviously, you've got the base level of kind of, okay, your sole purpose by default is to love me no matter what, which is an interesting way that that was done. But you cannot, I mean, they say you can't make someone love you. You can if you're, evil, because, what's it called? You can obviously, can, but shouldn't. Important to distinguish those two words. You can abuse someone and control them or whatever else. Obviously, you shouldn't, because that's awful, and you see that happening in this film as well. But yeah, just like writing this script for the perfect partner, because both Eli and Josh can't find people. And look, one of the whole, look, I'm no relationship expert or anything else, but the whole idea is kind of you try and find in life your most compatible person, and you are going to have things that you disagree on or different things that you like, because you're also your own independent person. You don't need a copy-paste version of, like, this person likes the exact same things I do, they dislike the exact same things I do, and they are perfectly the exact way that they need to be for a relationship. And it isn't perfect here either, because both Josh and Eli know that they have programmed, let's say, their two partners to be the way that they want to be. So it, there's no authenticity to it, towards their relationships, the two of their relationship at least, because that's fabricated. Where I draw the argument is with, because Josh is right in a certain way of like, okay, you are completely fake because I made you up and I programmed you. That doesn't mean, and again, this gets into the very interesting themes. Again, that doesn't mean that he has the right to look at Iris and go, okay, you're not real, you're complete. Because she is real. She is somebody who can, you know, is capable of feeling things and is capable of doing this, that, and the other, like a normal human would. And again, that's where you get into the interesting themes of sort of, okay, how much is a companion or an AI or a ro not an AI, a robot, AI is a different thing, a robot or a puppet or something like that, how capable are they of feeling human feelings and things like empathy and whatever else, and pain and loss and grief, and how much is it authentic and how much is it kind of just they're gonna robotically kind of do everything. So again, he's correct in the way of yes, you programmed her and you made her the way that you want to because, well, you want to assert control over her, and you seemingly can't find anybody else. Granted, there was the whole thing of planning to kill Sergei, and that was different to what Eli and Patrick were doing. Because I, this is an interesting idea to have, and I wouldn't say the companion thing is a morally wrong thing to do, it's a morally grey thing to do, but you can be more like Eli and not have evil intentions and just okay, if you haven't found someone and maybe you're struggling with loneliness or whatever, and you get one of these companions, and you again, you have to kind of the relationship that the two of you will have will be fake because you've programmed it that way. That person, that robot isn't really feeling those things for you. You've just told it to do so. But then their own individual, because again, there's always the thing with relationships of how you two feel about each other and then how you are as individual people. Those are two different things. But again, the program thing with the relationship, again, that part of it all is all fake because you've made that you've pressed the sliders and the buttons to make the thing the way that you want it to. That doesn't mean that, let's say, Iris's ability to pick up on the fact that Kat doesn't like her or you know whatever else is going on. That's where Josh is obviously very, very in the wrong in the way of okay, she's not a fake, she's a fake girlfriend because you the two of you are in a script essentially a scripted relationship. But she is capable of feeling her own things and whatever else. And I love the idea at the end of the day of sort of, I call it, you know, breaking free from the strings kind of thing in the whole puppet sense. And I like the way that we got there eventually with Iris, and it's kind of, no, you've not got any more control over me. And again, jumping back into the themes of, okay, you were somebody who was on strings, you were programmed specific in this film, it's specific to their relationship. But once you break free of those strings, even though you are still human, sorry, even though you are still a robot, what does a robot that used to run on commands and was tied to strings, what does that, I don't want to say thing, but I guess you could say thing, what does that individual do? Once you do cut away from the strings, does that mean that you're more capable of feeling stuff? But then, what does that mean for how you were before? I love digging into all that kind of stuff. And again, the film did a good job with how it did that with the time that it had. Obviously, you've got the whole other different plots of, you know, the cop coming along and trying to kill Sergei and the money and, you know, whatever else. But I liked that in the end, and it did it in a different, a completely different way to what I thought it was going to do. And it's interesting that you got the two kind of sides of things where Josh can just go, right, Iris, go to sleep, and he's again asserting control. And then you've got the thing later on where Patrick essentially goes to kill Iris. She can't do it because she's still got that bit of the programming in her. And then because there's that bit of part within him, I guess the self, that's where the self-awareness kind of comes in of like, hey, do you remember Eli? And it's there was a bit of that still in there somewhere, and he looks over at Eli's body. At least I think it was Eli's body, and then kind of starts remembering. And that has to kind of go under the self-awareness tab, because otherwise, if he was completely tied up in strings, or not tied up in strings, but held up by strings, he wouldn't have probably been able to do that. So, I like those two different bits of showing the kind of, okay, literal commands over people, because Eli obviously does it at a point with Patrick, to get him to be quiet. So yeah, thought that was really, really good as well. So, what else do I want to talk about with the film? Kat's death was quite sad and kind of like awkward in a way. Josh does make, because again, you've kind of got two main characters with Iris and with Josh, and they both have completely different qualities to their characters. I did find it very interesting that because Josh wants to have complete control over Iris, because obviously that's why, that's the way he's brought her and what he's intended to do with her and all that sort of thing. The amount of mistakes he does make in this film, I'm not going to say it's like, oh, plot holes or anything else like that. It's fine to have flawed characters because he's human. Although Iris makes mistakes and she's not human, so what does that mean? Again, all very interesting stuff. But yeah, he makes some mistakes in this film as well, and I thought it was very interesting for a character who's trying to assert so much control that through some of his own mistakes, ends up losing that control and ends up losing his life. So yeah, very interesting all the way that they're kind of handled, you know, the sense of control in this film. Shall I talk about the scenes that kind of, again, not pissed me off in the way that they were bad, but pissed me off in the way that they were kind of, you know, uncomfortable. I think at the top of the list probably is the candle scene. Yeah, so I'm kind of wondering with that, and then this is admittedly a nitpick and not me pointing out a plot hole. Did he need to? I guess he did. Because he turned her intelligence all the way down from 100 to 0, and then was like, right, stick your hand out and I'm going to slide this candle over to you, essentially, and then made her shoot herself. Did she? Because again, he's got the control of the tablet at that point. Did he have to do that in order to get her to do these things? Obviously, she does it very robotically at that point of just like, whatever. And you can still see, what I found interesting about that is you can still see some want from her to take control back, because the self-awareness was there at that point. Obviously, we'd gone way past that in the film, but this kind of, I've then got the self-awareness, but the strings are still above me, like the, you know, the puppet strings kind of thing. Again, no, she's not a puppet, but you know what I mean. And like, okay, the self-awareness is completely there. She's completely aware of what's going on, but the puppet strings are still there. So this guy can unfortunately get me to do whatever he wants, which he gets her to do two things. But I can't control any of that. So, yeah. What else do I want to talk about? There is quite a bit that I do want to talk about with, how do I want to do this in a way that's not just kind of rambly and is more productive? I was thinking in terms of, like when you look at a story like this and you kind of think of like the housewives from Mad Men and things like The Handmaid's Tale. Obviously, The Handmaid's Tale is much more excessive than what goes on in Mad Men. Although I've not seen all of Mad Men, so I don't know everything. I've seen about half of the first season, so. I didn't stop watching it. I didn't like it. It was because Netflix took it off, and it's been years since then. I did like what I'd seen, but Netflix took it away. So, yeah, of this kind of like, again, modern day story of a man who wants to assert control over a woman. Again, that's different here as opposed to Handmaid's Tale and Mad Men. Actually, I'm going to not include Mad Men in the control thing because I haven't seen all of it, so I don't completely know what I'm talking about there. But the housewife, like the man is superior kind of thing. That's all I mean with Mad Men. The kind of idea of like, the men get in the suit and the tie, they go out and do all the business, all the fun stuff, and the women stay at home and essentially have a robotic life where it's kind of get everything ready in the morning, make sure you take care of the husband kind of thing, make sure he's got food when he comes back, and then, give him kids, essentially. Which to delve into the kind of conversation I wanted to, this really did remind me of or make me think a lot of, again, a lot of stuff is going on in America with trying to control people and trying to sort of, particularly with women and what's going on with eventually projects, either 2025 or 25. And I was thinking of things like how much America wants to control women and things like The Handmaid's Tale and how that relates to this. Again, not exactly the same because you've got a programmed companion here, and you see what Josh does with all that kind of stuff. Because there are, and it's not just America, there's other countries that, are trying to control women. And obviously, you're literally controlling women in this film because they're being programmed to do certain stuff. Yeah, it just made me think of that. And any time in this film that Iris is uncomfortably told to do things, again, like the candle scene, it made me. I don't want to make it sound like I did something violent, but when you're watching a really uncomfortably intense scene, and you kind of put your hand in your mouth a bit and sort of bite on it slightly. I ended up doing that like a couple of times just because things were so like kind of uncomfortably intense in this film and everything. So that was an interesting experience. Yeah, there's again, there's a lot for. I mean, I could probably, honestly, I could probably sit here and talk about that particular thing for like an hour and how it relates to this film, but I don't know how productive that would be necessarily. But yeah, and not even just from like America and what America's doing. There's also certain people out there in the world who are trying to convince young men that it's like okay to abuse and try to do, coercive control with women and things like that. I'm just gonna say the name Andrew Tate, and I would say if you don't know who that is and you don't want to know about all that he's been doing, I would advise that you don't look that up because it's not pretty. There's been some, videos out there of him for a while of him doing certain stuff, and although Jack isn't doing the same things, the exact same things he's doing, there's certain similar elements there as well. So what I'm trying to say is, it's great when women have freedom to do what they want, which obviously Iris gets at the end of this film, and she's smiling, and she's driving away, and it's very happy. And yeah, how that relates to how uncomfortable and controlled she is when, again, the candle is like, because it like burns her whole kind of skin off, and she peels it off in a very Terminator kind of move. I thought that was an interesting kind of visual. I wonder if there's anything more thematically going on there that, like peeling off the skin is the freedom, I suppose. Maybe that's taking off parts of the strings or something. It's probably something you could dig into there, I suppose. But, I didn't expect, like, the next scene her to have, like, all of her skin peeled off or something, like a full Terminator, but that could have been, interesting. But yeah, we need to, well, not all of us, because that doesn't apply to all of us. We need to do better with how we treat women and things like that. And we need to stop telling, particularly young men, that it is, okay to treat women like that, because it is not, obviously. But see, when I'm talking about something like that, me just sitting here saying, hey, yes, be nice to women feels so easy. That doesn't, I'm not sitting here saying like I'm a saint and I've gotten on with every single woman I've ever talked to. I haven't, but I've never done anything remotely close to like this before. But it's Yeah, there's the extremist part of it all, I suppose. So, and they did do a very good job with a very good and very uncomfortable job with portraying that here. So, it was kind of interesting to see the parallels between Josh and Iris and then Eli and Patrick, because Eli is genuinely trying to love Patrick, and although Patrick has picked up on, hey, I've kind of known for a bit, but you've been good to me, so I'm going to keep that to myself and kind of just enjoy my life with you. I mean, Eli takes a bit of a turn where it's kind of, well, not a bit of a turn, but a very dramatic turn, and it's like, hey, Iris, I'm sorry, I need to kill you because there's a lot of money at stake. It's like, okay, greed kind of took over with you there, and you know, you lost any sense of empathy, and I'm not saying they ruined his character. He had a moment, didn't he? And the moment went too far. So, yeah. Is there any other plot points and bits and pieces? I guess Kat got the nicest death here. I did like the reveal of when Patrick is actually, there's two reveals that I kind of like that were back to back. The one where the coroner person was like, "Oh no, everything's recorded. It's in the heart." So of course, and again, another kind of mistake that Josh makes, or probably his biggest mistake that he makes, is like, "Hey, didn't you read that in the terms and conditions?" And we see him kind of start reading it, and then like, "Yeah, just get to the end and just get this over with." But like, oh yeah, everything's recorded unless you shoot the heart. But of course, he was trying to get rid of Iris, and one would assume a headshot would do the job. Granted, it got the job done of getting rid of her, at least temporarily, but the memories were still there. I suppose that's an interesting, is that an interesting thematic twist that her memories are actually in her heart and not in her head? Yeah, I suppose that is kind of an interesting way to do that. And, because again, he didn't read the T's and C's, which he should have done. But he assumed that, okay, her brain would have held the memories, because you would assume that about a living thing. But it was actually in the heart, which was an interesting twist. So, yeah. I wonder what that's trying to say as well. Like, her memories were in her heart, but her OS, I guess, her sort of function was, I mean, for most things, robots, animals, humans, whatever, you shoot them in the head, and that's pretty much it, isn't it? So, I just love the way he assumed, like, oh, that's, that will all be gone, right? He's like, nope, it's in the heart, and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna have to do something about that. So, that was good. And then I like the other little twist of the two guys as they're trying to drive off. The guy's like, wait a minute, I did recognize that face. That's one of our units. And then he just gets shot. I thought that was quite well done. Finish on the satisfying note of, so is again being violent with her and all this kind of stuff, and goes, right, I'm not gonna make the mistake this time, I'm gonna shoot you in the heart instead of in the head, so that all the footage is gone and whatnot. You don't see her pick up the knife, and instead picks up the fancy automatic screwdriver. That is one way to go, and that would be much slower than what the knife would have been, because it has to like properly wedge itself in there. I thought they did a very, very good job with that. So good stuff. All right, I think that's pretty much it. Yeah, I'll probably be thinking about this film for a bit as well, and all of the all of the meanings and the themes and everything else. So, very, very good. If I missed anything, is there anything I didn't talk about, please do let me know. Let me know your favourite spoilery parts or anything that you didn't like. There wasn't really anything I didn't like about the film. Again, the whole time aspect, but I've already kind of explained that. But yeah, there wasn't anything I thought like, okay, that's bad or that's stupid or that's wrong. Or like plot holes or anything else like that. I didn't really sort of notice anything, so that was good. So yeah, but anyway, that's it for me. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.